Yeah, wow, this grew since the start of it.
Welcome to Free Talk Live, live Saturday show. You're hearing audio from the streets of Ottawa, Canada today.
The bikes went out on a ride this afternoon, and
thousands of people are back in the streets in Ottawa today throughout the entire day. Many of them showing up yesterday for what was called Rolling Thunder. And I had not heard anything about this until maybe the last 48 hours that this was even going to be happening. But it is absolutely happening. The feed here coming from Live from the Shed, which is a YouTube channel who was broadcasting for many hours today. And just the number of people in the streets is tremendous. Mainstream media is reporting this as, quote, hundreds. And it is in the hundreds. But so is thousands, right? Like, there's hundreds of people within a thousand, and there's definitely thousands of people at this event today.
What, the mainstream media underreporting something?
Yeah, definitely. And the mainstream...
There's dozens of people. Hundreds.
Of
in
dozens.
Fact, thousands of dozens. Dozens.
Right, right. Yeah. Of course, we talked a lot about the trucker convoy that happened earlier this year when it was quite cold in Ottawa, and today it was the opposite. Today was incredibly hot. The guy that is doing this video live from the shed was quite sunburned today after being out in it for several hours. But just a ton of people in the streets for yet another freedom rally. All of this sparked by not the truckers this time, but the bikers. And
nice.
So we went from having humongous vehicles taking up a tremendous amount of space, very difficult to navigate hundreds of trucks through a city with tight turns and all that, to the smallest of vehicles and hundreds of them. I saw earlier today the hundreds. Well, I mean, I'd say that's a conservative estimate, probably several hundred at least bikers parading through the city. Now, supposedly the police cordoned off a specific route for them to follow. There were, unlike the Freedom Convoy situation, there were a ton of cops on hand for this event from the moment go, right?
So I'm assuming these aren't your racing motorcycle enthusiasts. I'm assuming these are more of the I want to call them the outlaw biker style, you know, beards and long hair and tattoos and Harleys.
I think you saw a variety. I mean, probably the majority of that, but I definitely heard some bike motors that didn't sound like the Harley style motors.
You'll always get some of that. I say this because I spent a great deal of time in Sturgis, South Dakota, where they have the
Bike Week what do they call it? Sturgis is what they call it, right?
Yeah, that was
one of the rally.
Yeah, one of the few things that you will not shut down. We don't care if there's a so-called pandemic and there's no events are allowed to happen. No, there's still going to be Sturgis.
And that definitely happened during the pandemic.
And they tried to shut it down and it didn't happen. They showed up anyway, which was awesome.
I say that because generally those types of people, they do attract more police attention than, say, your, you know, garden variety motorcycle enthusiast.
Yeah, so, I mean, I just thought it was an awesome thing. And supposedly this has to do with some kind of a military veterans memorial in Ottawa. They've got, like, a place that people go. And that was, I guess, the main thrust of this particular event. But it just turned into a massive freedom rally with a ton of people. Like I said, thousands of people in the streets, parading around, walking in front of Parliament, and just doing a lot of stuff that was very similar to what happened in the trucker convoy, minus the parking up the streets situation. Because, again,
they can easily do that, too. I mean,
they could, but the police were ready for this one, so they cordoned off an entire area of downtown. So the area around the Parliament in Ottawa, which, for listeners that don't know, Ottawa is the capital of all of Canada. So the Parliament building had several streets that they were not allowing any vehicular access to.
Okay.
So you could walk down those streets, but you could not drive any kind of vehicles down there. So unlike the first convoy where the police, I don't think they took it seriously. They thought, oh, yeah, there's only going to be a few dozen trucks or whatever coming through here. No big deal. And then it turned into hundreds of trucks and thousands of other people occupying for 3 weeks. In this case, they had throngs of cops out today dressed in full stormtrooper outfits, just like they did when they finally cracked down on the trucker convoy 3 weeks into the trucker convoy. So today they had a ton of troops out to try to keep some sort of a lid on this protest. But again, they were way outnumbered. Just watching the footage that I've got pulled up here, where there's literally thousands of people just walking through the streets, there's no amount of police that would be able to deal with this group particularly effectively unless they started to do the kettling, which they did several weeks ago, where they would just close off one street, move up literally a line of three cops deep to cover the entire width of the street, and then push physically the crowd back, setting up metal barriers like we're seeing them doing in China right now, which they were doing in Canada a few weeks ago.
So are they protesting the same things that the truckers were protesting?
It sounds like it. Okay. So they don't have as many of the restrictions in Canada as they did at the beginning of the trucker convoy, but there's still some of them in place. Yeah. So the mainstream media is trying to play this off as though, oh, what are you guys even complaining about? We've repealed or eased
gave you some of your freedoms back.
But as Mark Emery points out on his Twitter account, he's the Prince of Pot from up there in Canada, a longtime liberty activist and cannabis activist. He points out that he cannot board an airplane because he is not vaccinated.
Right.
You can get on a bus, no problem. But if you are wanting to fly somewhere in Canada, you can't do it unless you're vaccinated. So they definitely still have a number of rules in place, although they've even loosened up on the police. You can, when you watch the footage, you can see many of the cops are unmasked, whereas 100% of them were masked during the trucker convoy. Yeah. So there's definitely has been a change, but obviously it's not enough. And the people are once again taken to the streets. The people on the left, for lack of a better term, the people that love restrictions and love mask mandates, they decided they were going to come out today and do some opposition. And of course, the mainstream media has been all over covering the opposition to the Rolling Thunder event today.
I want
to
know where the hell the United States people are.
There's some people
who feel this way.
American flags there.
Right. I understand that. But it
seems
to me. Are you
talking about here in the U.S.?
Yeah. It seems to me the Canadians are certainly showing up.
Yeah.
The land of the fee and the home of the slave. I mean, land of the free, home of the brave, whatever that is.
Showing up again and again. I mean, the trucker convoy here was a huge misstep. It was just embarrassing.
It was laughable at best.
They, for listeners that don't know, the trucker convoy, because it didn't get really reported on, and honestly, for good reason, they didn't really have an impact.
Nothing occurred. They drove around the the bypass that goes around the DC.
That's what do they call that thing? The loop. No, that's
Beltway.
Chicago.
Beltway.
That's
yes,
it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Beltway.
Yeah, and one thing about this one, though, I am really skeptical about this one having any kind of the lasting power that we saw with the trucker convoy, because the thing about truckers is that they carry their hotel room with them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, they show up at a place, they can stay as long as they want, really, whereas these people are going to have to try and find hotels and Airbnbs.
That's going to be expensive. I think the intention here is to just do a weekend and call it.
Yeah, I was
going
to say it sounds like it's a weekend thing.
But it'll be interesting to see if anything shows up tomorrow. Maybe people. I think it was officially today, but maybe there may be things going on tomorrow as well. And then we'll see. You know, we'll see where it goes from here. I've got the story about the people who are the opposition to this thing, which is kind of interesting. The same woman who sued the truckers, and that case, I presume, is still working its way through the Canadian courts. She's been contacted, of course, about this. If you want to weigh in here, the number is 603-283-6160, but it looks like a major success. We should compare this to what has happened in the United States and just give you a brief recap on our understanding of the U.S., what they call the People's Convoy. It just ended, from what I understand, and we'll tell you about it coming up here in moments. It's Free Talk Live. Talk Live, phones are open here. It is 603-283-6160. If you want to get interactive on the air with us, you can talk about whatever's on your mind. Although I wanted to start out tonight with part due of what's going on in Ottawa, Canada. The Freedom Rally has returned, calling themselves the Rolling Thunder this time. So it was a Freedom Convoy previously. Now it's Rolling Thunder, which sounds way more badass. And it's the bikers this time around that are leading the, I don't know, you call it an attack. It's a peaceful thing, but an attack on the system.
It's a protest.
Attack on the, yeah, it's a protest. It's a rally. And it has attracted thousands of people. They are
the status quo mindset of the new normal.
They are still there. By the way, as we speak, live streams are available on various different streaming platforms.
If you want to find out what it's all about.
Yep, you can go and you can watch it as it happens. I don't know how late it's going to go tonight. Some of the guys that were streaming today were out there for many hours. They're probably pretty exhausted, but maybe some nighttime streamers are going to step up, and things will get, you know, they usually get a little more interesting once the sun goes down. The cops get a little more brazen, a little more emboldened. So we will see how this thing develops. But as of so far today, it has been an incredible success. Here tonight in the studio with you, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
And there's plenty of chance of freedom and liberté in Canada throughout the day today, which I really enjoy. I don't really like chanting in general.
Yeah.
But if you're going to chant, I like liberty or liberté because it's French. They're a lot better than USA. All you hear in the United States
infinitely preferable.
USA being chanted over and over again, and it's just,
centralized federal government! Centralized federal government!
Like, these are your oppressors. I understand why they do it. They're just so programmed.
My tribe! Yeah,
well, they're so
free
programmed.
Range slavery! Free range slavery!
But that's not what they think, right? When they're saying USA, they're thinking about freedom. They're thinking that's what that stands for. Yeah, I think so. I think that a lot of the people chanting that are sort of, you know, of this fantasy that that's what the U.S. at one time stood for and should again, but that's a true fantasy.
Well, no, that's exactly the problem, is that they believe categorically, by definition, that because it is their tribe is the free tribe. So obviously, no matter what evidence there may be to the contrary, no matter how much we start to look more and more like these known to be oppressive systems, like, they define the USA as a free country.
Right, even as the police are beating them down, many of them will still even do things like thank the cops. This guy's feed that I'm sharing here from Canada, I shared a little bit of the audio from, he actually thanks the police at one point for cooperating or something like that. And maybe he's glad they didn't crack anybody's head open, or at least that he saw, because he can't be everywhere at once. And there certainly have been arrests within the last 24 hours there in Ottawa. But don't thank your oppressors.
Right? You know, I just thought about it a little bit more, and I think I'm going to walk back a little bit. The USA may, in fact, be a free country.
What do you mean?
Free from accountability for politicians and the military and, well, any branch of government, really.
Yeah, if you're in the gang,
it's completely free of any sort of accountability or any form of justice that resembles anything voluntary, peaceful, or free.
Well, I was thinking more free of coercion and threat and use of force.
Oh, no, there's plenty of that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be our kind of freedom. And so we were talking about these convoys and now this Rolling Thunder, as they're calling it in Ottawa. And Captain, you brought up the inevitable comparison of what happened here in the United States.
Or what didn't happen.
Well, something happened. It just wasn't really barely worth talking about. We covered it. Especially as it got rolling out of California, it was called the People's Convoy. There were several different, or a couple at least, different competing convoy ideas. One of them vaporized, and that guy said he lent his whatever credibility he had to the People's Convoy. He sort of passed the torch to them. The People's Convoy started in, I think it was late March, and they traveled, took them about 11 days to travel across the country from California all the way to D.C., and they were joined by other convoys, because obviously not everyone's going to travel all the way to California if you're on the West Coast, so some people came from Washington State, others came from, you know, Montana or whatever, and so as the convoy was coming east across the U.S., they were joined by other little mini convoys that had started. Some started in New Hampshire and Maine and so on, and that part of it went really great. if you were to tune in to any of the live feeds that so many of the truckers have, you know, like a dash cam that they were able to stream out live as they're driving, you wouldn't have to tune into one of those for more than 5 minutes before one of these drivers would go under an overpass. And you'd see a ton of people and like trucks and banners and a lot of people just on the overpass waving. So these people knew that the convoy was coming and they set up there for however many hours in advance of the actual arrival. And they had a tremendous amount of people no matter where they were. You could tune in at any time and see that happening live. So there was a huge amount of support as these folks were going across the country. You'd see the photos and the reports from every night where they would stop. They'd have a specific location in a specific town where they were going to, you know, do the overnight and then get up the next day and hit the road again. And they were welcomed by thousands of supporters at many of these stops. So the energy going towards D.C. was very palpable. There was a lot of support. And then they got to the Hagerstown, Maryland Speedway, which had welcomed them. And that was where they were going to be based out of while they were doing whatever it was that they were going to do in D.C. And they just completely fizzled at that point. They did some loops around the Beltway.
Yep.
And then they did some more loops the next day and then the next day. And then at some point they went and they had a meeting with Ted Cruz and somebody else from the senator.
And
the,
they shook hands and said, "You guys are awesome."
Yeah, the politicians
used this. That seems to be what people consider to be a successful protest. Like, it is a successful protest in most people's books if you end up meeting with the mayor or, in this case, a national politician. Like, that's what they think success in a protest looks like.
And then they just pretend to listen to what you have to say. They use the opportunity to take a photo with you so they can spam that out on their social media and get some brownie points for the next election.
Kiss a couple babies, shake a couple hands.
And you go home and you've changed nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You certainly haven't changed any politicians' minds.
So I think my personal disappointment in the People's Convoy was, well, we saw what happened in Canada. And we talked about it here.
We talked about it for weeks.
Yeah. And the enormity of it and, you know, the blockading of the streets and all that kind of thing. And I think, and I assume that I speak for many other people, but I don't know that for a fact. But if anybody out there listening, you know, had any thoughts like me, the expectation was that, oh, the USA is doing one. It's going to be even bigger.
I don't think
and
I had
even
that expectation.
Better. You know what I mean? Like there
well,
was this.
I mean, you might because we have the population and we, you know, have this reputation of these rebellious free people.
I didn't have that expectation.
Well,
did you?
I, not anymore if I did. Yeah. I mean, I certainly was disappointed.
I wanted to be pleasantly surprised, but I didn't expect to be.
Right.
There's more coming up here at 603-283-6160. So they met with the politicians, and at one point, some of the truckers in the Freedom or the People's Convoy did go into downtown D.C. And, well, we'll tell you more about it coming up.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Worden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Worden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live. The phones are open and you can join us here at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Bitcoin.com, by the way, a great source to learn about crypto, including Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. If you're ready to get started and learn the basics, go to Bitcoin.com and just click Get Started at the top of the page. You'll find some useful introductory videos there that will teach you about what you need to know, some of the important concepts that are new when it comes to cryptocurrency, new compared to the old government monies that we're used to. Go to bitcoin.com, click get started at the top of the page, and you can also go to their news website anytime to get the latest news headlines from the world of crypto. Go to news.bitcoin.com to do that. That's news.bitcoin.com. Apologies to our video viewers over at video.freetalklive.com. Forgot to hit the start button.
We never say that, Ian. We had a technicality.
No, it was me. And so just to bring you all up to speed, we've been covering what's been happening in Ottawa today with thousands of people in the streets and on foot mostly protests. But there were also hundreds of bikers who were leading this particular rally. It's called Rolling Thunder. Yep. And they started with some speeches at a certain veterans memorial that they have there in Ottawa. And then after that, people, I think, headed over to the Parliament building area and subsequently did a lengthy walk around the city. I watched some of the footage from a few different folks. Of course, the people from, I'm forgetting their name at the moment, but Rebel News, that's it. Rebel News was there. Live streamers like Ottawox and Viva Frey, Live from the Shed. These are some of the channels that I guess are very, very popular there in Canada with folks that have attended these rallies, and they were all once again on the scene, walking around, showing the tremendous success that this event was, unlike the folks here in the United States. And they did the best that they could, but it just paled in comparison. I mean,
I don't feel like that was the best they could. But,
well,
you know,
it's scary going up against
trucker,
the federal government.
Yes, absolutely. I'm not getting in a semi and driving towards D.C. and parking, you know, in front of the Capitol or even any federal building myself. So take my words with a grain of salt, of course. But if these people who chant USA, USA all the time really do believe in freedom, really do believe in liberty, then when they go to do something like a protest against government overreach, right, then, and Canada, you know, our neighbors to the north, has just had, you know, this hugely, at least successful in the respect of gaining much news, much press.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, then my expectation becomes, well, if a little place like Canada north of us can have that kind of an impact, I can only imagine the impact that folks in the USA, USA, USA will have, right? And then nothing, like a whimper
got neutered.
At best, a whimper at best.
Well, honestly, though, so, I mean, I get what you guys are saying about not really liking protests, and, yeah, the People's Convoy was absolutely pathetic, but honestly, if I had seen even this much in 2020 when all of this stuff was going down, I mean, at least it would have given me, like, some glimmer of hope that, like,
well, we did some stuff here in New Hampshire.
Rolling over. I mean, yeah, sure.
We were out in front of the State House on multiple occasions. That's with true. Hundreds of people. We had dozens in front of the governor's house on multiple occasions. Many arrests. In fact, some of those arrests are still going to trial. There's going to be a trial next week out in Brentwood.
Well, yeah, sure. In the home of libertarians, sure, there were protests. But like, as far as a big nationwide,
no, nothing
like,
nationwide.
We are not okay with you doing this to us. No, nothing like that.
Well, and it did take the Canadians a couple of years to show up too, but they showed up in a major way. Now, I don't blame anyone for not wanting to go to the belly of the beast in Washington, D.C. I wouldn't have gone just because, you know, that's insane to me. So
that
I don't,
seems like a good way of getting gunned down to me.
Yeah, so I don't blame anyone for that. But they could have focused on state capitals. There could have been a bunch of different approaches here.
Well, and that's the thing is, like, the propaganda, if you will, I don't know what else to call it, the advertising for the People's Convoy said things along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing because I don't have anything in front of me, but we're going to do something along the lines of what Canada did, except in D.C. Like, they used Canada as, like, that's what we're going to do, except here.
And they
if
raised
only we could be as cool and rebellious as the Canadians.
And they raised over, I think, $1.5 million the last time I checked their website, which for some reason appears to be... Oh, no, okay, it is there. It is still there. Let's see what their current fundraiser is at. According to thepeoplesconvoy.org, they've raised $1.8 million so far, and I don't know if that includes crypto. I suspect it doesn't. Let's go to Padraig. He's on the line in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Padraig.
Gentlemen, it's good to hear you again. I'm a long-time listener, obviously.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to see if I can articulate a good argument, and I don't want to change the subject, but I want to talk about property taxes. I immigrated from Ireland. I came from a family of nine. We were very, very poor, and I worked hard my whole life. I'm an elderly man, and I bought a piece of property. And it seems like I rent everything from the government. I buy a vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
It's an old vehicle. I still have to pay registration every year. I bought a piece of property, and I have to pay property taxes. And I don't even have a child. And it seems like I'm still getting mill levy overrides from the school system to pay for their schools. And I just don't see one politician picking one weed or planting one seed on my place.
Nope.
But they always want everything.
No, they got to take a cut of everything that you make, every dollar, every plant, whatever it is that you're moving around. They got to get their cut.
Regardless as to whether or not they've helped you do anything, because most of the time they have not.
Well, and this is why they all
say they're saving me, but they're not. They're not saving me from anything. I mean, they're not. I buy fuel for my tractor. It's gone up 50%, 100%, 100% now, and I have to charge people more for the crops that I grow, and I just don't. I'm not understanding how come America got away. We had a revolution to get away from the king of England, and we're still got a king, except they're all spread out everywhere, from Washington, D.C. to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Yep.
They all want something.
And that's the thing. I mean, you are working the land, and not only are they charging you rent in the form of taxes to stay on their property, but they have a special workaround that, unlike all these other things, that it's a little harder for us to just steal from you entirely. No. We have a special right where we can decide we're going to pay you whatever we feel it's worth for this piece of land because we want it for something.
Yeah, eminent domain.
That's the one.
And then all the easements across your property from power line companies to water lines from everybody else. You don't even own the mineral rights. I mean, it's just, I thought it would be different, but it just seems really, really difficult for a guy who's worked his whole life to try to get something to pass it along to an heir. I don't even have any heirs, but to give somebody younger than me a break when I pass away.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it goes back to the state if I'm not married.
It's frustrating.
I want to thank you for letting me vent because it is frustrating.
It's not far from serfdom, is it?
No, because somebody in Santa Fe is going to say, well, you didn't pay his property tax this year. And then the sheriff's going to come out there and he's going to serve me. Or a judge will say, yeah, go hook him up. And then the sheriff's department is going to come out, and I'm paying all these people all the way up the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
And I get to keep almost nothing from me.
You've stated it so clearly, and I thank you for the call tonight, Padraig. Appreciate hearing from you. That is absolutely the root of the problem. There is no such thing as property ownership in the United States. It's all an illusion. You're a glorified renter. If you have a deed and you don't pay the gang, whatever it is that they decide that you need to pay them, because they can raise it at any time that they want to.
Oh, and they do.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do about it? Vote in somebody else who's going to do the exact same thing. They all are a bunch of control freaks. And sadly, the People's Convoy isn't going to do anything to change any of that. They just love themselves the Pledge of Allegiance and the National Anthem. That's what was on their itinerary for today in Washington State. We'll tell you more about it coming up here in moments. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live, phones open. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you in the studio tonight, you've got Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
We are talking about the Rolling Thunder, which is happening as we speak. It was big time earlier today in Ottawa with thousands of people marching in the streets, hundreds of bikers leading the march. With just a tremendous turnout. It's kind of like a redo almost of what happened with the Freedom Convoy. I don't think it's going to involve people staying there for 3 weeks, but we'll see. I think it's only expected to be a one-day thing.
I was scanning an article about it from the Criminal News Network, and they say that 8 people have been arrested.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I don't know how many were arrested today.
No, a total of 8. It was 7, and like the latest one is 8. Maybe the article was from yesterday. But they said it's scheduled to end on Sunday, so you're right about
okay.
the weekend.
Okay, so yeah,
thing.
Weekend thing. But this just goes to show the people of Canada are not happy with what has been done over there, which is to say there have been some lifting of the various different COVID-related restrictions and such, but it is not a complete lifting. They still have a vaccine mandate for traveling over airplanes and various other things I'm sure I'm not privy to, but these folks are mad enough where some people traveled from as far away as Saskatchewan, apparently, so almost across the entire country, to come to this event and once again occupy the streets of Ottawa. So that, again, is continuing as we speak there. We'll continue to give you updates as we hear more about that, but it led to us talking about the United States variant of this, the People's Convoy, which I wanted to report on it. I really wanted to have...
We tried,
yeah.
But nothing happened.
We talked about it as it was leading up, as they were driving out to D.C., and then once we saw that all they were doing was just driving around the Beltway and then having meetings with politicians as though that was some sort of thing worth celebrating, as though that was an accomplishment. Oh, my God. Oh, we got Ted Cruz to sit down with us for 2 hours. Oh, what an honor. I mean, don't these people understand? How can they not know that this guy is a lying scumbag, just like Joe Biden is? How can they still be of the belief
and
that...
And here's the thing. Like, you will find plenty of people who will talk about the problems of the partisan war machine, but you won't find hardly anyone, and especially anyone who isn't getting suppressed, who will talk about the actual war machine and that it is both parties
right.
and always has been.
I'm trying to think of an analogy. The only thing that comes to mind is it would be like if you're driving to Hollywood, you got a convoy of truckers going to Hollywood, you're going to protest all the pedophiles in the film and television industry or something like that.
Because that'll make them go away.
And then you get there and they trot out Johnny Depp, right? And they're like, oh, we got to meet Johnny Depp.
Right. And time to go home.
And then, okay, it's over. We won. Like, that's not how it works.
Well, but I touched his hand of this person who's so much more important than me.
He said hello. He gave us a copy of 21 Junk Street.
Yeah, I mean, this was all so textbook as far as how a movement gets co-opted. And arguably, the People's Convoy was co-opted from day number one. I mean, that's the best argument is this thing was totally controlled opposition or whatever you want to call it. The people that were putting this thing together... They're not really opposed to the system or the status quo. They're part of it, and they just wanted to make a show. And what they were trying to show people is, see, this is how you do it, people. You just go and you talk to the politicians. You tell them what you want. You tell them how you feel.
The politicians don't even work that way. When's the last time you heard of some politician from the United States of America going to a foreign land and using diplomacy?
Yeah, they drop
to
bombs.
Solve their problems.
Well, and it is so hypocritical about these Republicans now talking about, oh, we gave the government too much power. Where were you 20 years ago when the Patriot Act made it completely legal?
Yeah, we know
for
where
me
they
to
were.
Have no trial to be executed at
they
any time.
They cheered it on. They cheered every step of the way until finally, Joe Biden gets their attention. And so, color me skeptical about all of this. But here's the update from the People's Convoy group on Facebook. They are still going. I'd said on the air that I thought they'd wrapped up. There was a news story from the mainstream media, which of course you can't trust, but coming out of San Francisco saying that the truckers made a turn onto a street and a bunch of kids attacked the truckers. They threw stuff at their trucks or whatever.
Oh.
And so,
like a food fight or
I don't know what it was, but they threw some stuff at the trucks and, it was painted as, oh, look, we don't want your kind around here. This is San Francisco. Get out, truckers. And so they acted as though that was the end of the line for the failed.
They threw a bunch
convoy.
Of glitter on the truck.
But no, they're still going. They've now been making their way up the West Coast with an event at Washington State's Capitol today. Where the hell is that? What's the state capital there?
Olympia?
Oh, yeah, that's right, Olympia. So that's where they held this thing, and it was, quote-unquote, one nation under God, Washington State Capitol, take a stand against communism and government overreach, April 30th, United We Win, WTPAC uniting with the People's Freedom Convoy. Final Freedom Train leaves, and they give times, and here's what they're going to do today. They have the Pledge of Allegiance, the National Anthem, guest speakers, march around the Capitol, A-R-O-U-M-D, Capitol. They didn't do a good editing job on this flyer. Flag wave and horn honking. Freedom rings. And then they got the American flag and a Canadian flag, just so you think that, like, you know, it's somehow tied in with the Canadian truckers.
See, we can be just as cool and rebellious as those badass Canadians.
That sounds like a bunch of propaganda to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Canadians sing their national anthem, too. So, I mean, the whole thing is very similar in that way. There's a lot of nationalism going on here, even though this is the very same, you know, group of people that is doing the oppressing. They still believe they can somehow change something in Washington, D.C., and it's just total nonsense.
Well, they can continue voting, and things will continue to get worse.
And this is what happens when you put these people in charge. Keep us safe. Well, guess what? Later on, they're going to keep you safe from things that you don't want to be kept safe from, like breathing air.
The People's Convoy Twitter account has a flyer, apparently. So they've made flyers for, I guess, different states. So this one's for California, telling people to vote no on the tyrannical 10. I don't know what that is. But they've got their mission statement here. It's just a couple sentences. It says, Americans love our freedoms and love the Constitution of the United States of America. This convoy aims to bring back our freedoms, our civil liberties, and bring an end to all unconstitutional mandates. This is about our rights, as well as the freedom of future generations. It's not about political parties, but more so about a government that has forgotten its place and has no regard for our founding fathers' instructions, the Constitution. So, once again, the typical kind of pandering that you see from right-wing kind of movements, they are, to their credit, trying to avoid sounding partisan. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, it's not about political parties, but they met with Ted Cruz and some other Republican guy in D.C.
Well, we know that the left doesn't really use words like freedom and
true.
Constitution.
The Constitution. Yeah. But the delusion that you would have to be under in the year 2022 to think you're going to bring back freedom to the United States, to Washington, D.C., that liberty has a chance to come back in any way, shape, or form, as though it were ever there in the past, is pure insanity.
Well, I mean, and it's not going to happen. It's an empty platitude from each side. So, yeah. Sure, the left won't talk about the Constitution, but they'll talk about democracy.
Sure.
But when it comes down to, okay, so should we have a vote on this policy or that policy that you believe in? And whatever the vote is, that's what we're doing? Are we going to have a vote as to whether or not people get to have whatever guns they want? Oh, no. We can't have a vote about that and actually follow the results of that, even though what they're mouthing is democracy. And on the right, it's, oh, well, it's the Constitution. And it's like, oh, the Constitution, where it specifically said that anything that isn't specifically forbidden, I'm allowed to do. That Constitution? Yeah, that's ever happened when you've been in power.
I don't know when these people are going to wake up to the fact that DC cannot be changed. It cannot be made better. It will not become more freedom oriented, no matter how hard you vote and no matter how many parades you do around the Beltway, or even if they were to have gone in and occupied the streets of DC, even if they had been a little more hardcore. And there were some that actually did enter the streets of DC. I don't know how many trucks it was. I don't think it was very many. It was a fraction of the total number that they had.
I thought maybe they got an Uber.
took a bus or a train in. This is like trying to teach a fish to climb a mountain. It's just not going to happen.
They went in and they were accompanied the entire way by police. So the police knew they were watching all the exits, and the cops were right on them, like, you know, white on rice.
Maybe the whole thing was just staged.
If it was or it wasn't, it doesn't matter because it was totally useless.
Zero impact.
Yep. The only answer is to secede from the United States. Sorry. There is no better solution to liberty in our lifetime. And if you want to secede, you better, if you're liberty oriented, you better get to New Hampshire, because you don't have a chance anywhere else. There's more coming up here. Hour 2's on the way. Free Talk Live's video archives have been on Library for years. Library is an uncensorable, decentralized, blockchain-based media sharing protocol, and we're big fans of it here on Free Talk Live. In 2020, Library launched Odyssey, a video sharing website to compete with YouTube, and it's really taking off, now with over 1 million channels, many of whom are disaffected YouTube creators. During YouTube's crackdown for not towing the government line on COVID, the Free Talk Live YouTube channel started receiving strikes and could be completely taken down at any moment. Thankfully, Odyssey started offering live streaming, so we're now streaming live every night and posting our video archives permanently to Odyssey. You can watch live or anytime on our Odyssey channel by visiting video.freetalklive.com. If you want to go all in, download the desktop app at lbry.com, and then every video archive you watch, you'll help seed and keep it online forever. At minimum, we ask you visit video.freetalklive.com and follow us on Odyssey today. video.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live.
It is Free Talk Live, kicking off the second hour of the program, live Saturday show, and phones are open if you want to join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. We're kind of doing some international coverage here. We started with Canada and the Rolling Thunder event that happened very successfully today in Ottawa with thousands of people in the streets, hundreds of bikers leading the rally. Very, very interesting day there in Ottawa. But there's also some news, or I guess you just wanted to comment generally, Pecos Mountaineer, you wanted to talk about Yemen.
Mm-hmm.
Where is that place?
It's in the Levant, sort of the cradle of civilization area.
People don't talk about Yemen very much, but there's been a lot of people murdered there by various governments, including the United States, right?
Yep, and most especially the Saudi Arabian government. So there's been, I mean, what can really only be described as a genocide going on that the United States was directly involved with, was directly helping out Saudi Arabia. And then in like February of 2021, they pulled back and they're like, okay, because of the Jamal Khashoggi thing, the journalist that was put to death by the Saudi Arabian government.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that became a big, big story and made all the politicians look bad. So they pulled back a little. They said, okay, well, we're not going to actively help you kill all these people. We're only going to refuel your planes and provide intelligence and you know, satellite imagery.
I'm
and
sorry,
all that
that's
sort
not possible. The U.S. military cannot provide intelligence.
But yeah, information on how to effectively kill more people.
The interesting thing to me, and you know, if I'm wrong, let me know. Was I read today? No, yesterday that. While everybody's up in arms about the Ukraine, and everybody, at least on social media, knows that the Ukrainian flag is blue and yellow, that something like 10 times the people have died in the conflict in Yemen, and nobody on social media knows what the colors of the Yemen flag are. Because nobody's changed their profile pic to it.
Honestly, I have literally never heard about Yemen from a non-libertarian source. Like, it simply is not mentioned.
I believe I have seen the Yemen flag on some libertarian profiles on social media.
Okay.
Yep.
I did not realize it was the Yemen flag until just tonight when I actually looked it up.
Oh, that's what that is. Oh.
I thought, oh, it must be the Russian flag, but no, it was the Yemen flag.
What did we discover it was? Red, white, and black? Is that right?
Red, white, and black. Okay. And the Russian flag is red, blue, and white, so similar.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that America sort of pulled back on its assistance of Saudi Arabia has really upset them.
And the Saudis, you mean?
Yes, the Saudis. And to the point that they have been in talks with starting to sell their oil for not dollars, which is actually a really important deal.
That was them that was talking to China about that, right?
That's right, exactly. Yeah. Which they never would have even talked to China about this if America was still supporting them militarily the way that they were.
Right, and didn't Joe Biden try to call up the Crown Prince and he wouldn't even take his phone call?
That's correct.
Yeah,
they haven't spoken in quite a while. He's repeatedly tried to get a hold of him, and they're just not even picking up.
Yeah, it's very interesting. So what have you heard recently about Yemen?
Well, so for the last month or so, it's been the month of Ramadan, and mm-hmm. These are both Muslim nations.
Right.
So it's been sort of a month-long extended version of there's that story of how in World War II at Christmas they just like all refused to kill each other.
Right.
And like met each other in the battlefield and like played soccer. Because
and then went back to killing each other
right,
later.
And then, right. It's very much like that, only it's the entire month of Ramadan has been a ceasefire. And they have said that they're going to continue the peace talks and that they are definitely going to have the ceasefire for at least another month.
Hmm.
And I just want, you know, everyone out there, like, if you believe in prayer, like, say a prayer for peace that actually goes through, because I am concerned that when Ramadan is over, that they are going to be tempted to go back to their genocidal, murderous ways. So
what has the Saudi Arabian government got against Yemen, the people there?
So they're the wrong kind of Muslims.
I was going to ask that. Is it Sunni versus Shia?
Yep.
Which side?
Weird. So wait, Shia. It's a religious war?
Yeah.
Oh, well, weird.
Always
that
has
never
been.
Happens.
Right. Yeah, it's just their version of the whole, you know, Protestant versus Catholic, and mm-hmm. let's, you know, firebomb each other's homes over it. Only, you know, modern and with modern technology to do it, but the fact that there has been this ceasefire is you know really good news in a world that is sorely needing some extra good news, and hopefully that's going to continue for the next month, because like I know that it's possible that the U.S. is going to go, well, you know, we really, really need Saudi Arabia to be our friends, and we really need to sell some extra guns, because that's what the U.S. does, is mm-hmm. sell a lot of guns to everybody. And even if we have to give you the money to buy our guns, we'll sell you those guns. So I'm honestly concerned that the U.S. is going to make a shift and start, you know, supporting their destruction in Yemen again, and that might be enough to get them to go, well, Ramadan's over, and we still want to kill all of you, so... So, you know, I do, however, think that our being aware of this does change how likely that is. It's one of those, like, when people are watching certain things, mm-hmm. they are less likely to pull a fast one, you know?
True, unless, of course, they are choosing to be ignorant of what one side or the other is doing, which, of course, we're seeing in the Ukraine situation, where people are watching, quote-unquote, but they're only watching whatever it is the government or the mainstream media tells them.
You're touching on something, and that is war is becoming a spectator sport.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Much like...
Yeah, where they take a team and they go, rah-rah team.
Yep.
The other team's bad.
Much like, you know, NFL football or
NBA basketball.
Well,
wasn't
NBA
it always like that, at least in our lifetimes?
Well, I mean, to some extent, sure. If you look at the old colonial version of war, where it was, you know, the red team over here and the blue team over here, mm-hmm. and they line up in a perfect line and point their guns at each other, and everybody else standing around can watch without fear of getting shot.
Well, but even in that case, you know, they'd still torch buildings and destroy towns or whatever. So you could have gotten caught up if you were alive back then in whatever was going on.
But it,
whereas now the wars are all outside of the United States and it's much more of a spectator.
It's interesting
thing.
To me because Gulf War One back in 91, I think, when that
sounds
thing
right.
Went down.
Yeah, 90, 91.
CNN had embedded reporters with the troops, and they were, you know, live casting from inside of like actual trucks and convoys, supply mission, that kind of a thing. And they had graphs and charts, and it was, I mean, they were making a video game out of the war. And for whatever reason, after that particular conflict, the news got away from doing all of that. Now, some say it's because it was glorifying war. Well, I mean, to some extent, the politicians are going to continue to have to glorify war in order to keep it going, because if people ever found out what the actual cost was, it would end tomorrow.
Well, and that's certainly the policy that the media has put forward, because they learned their lesson from Vietnam by having all of these pictures coming back, by having, you know, footage of this. I mean, it definitely kept people glued to their television, but it got them to speak out against war.
That was
an enormous anti-war movement.
The thing about all the live televising of Gulf One was they never showed actual death. They never showed an actual explosion or a bomb landing. You know, it was always just hanging out with the troops after, you know, the thing had gone down or before. Like, okay, these guys are getting ready for a night raid, and so we're going to talk to them about what preparations they're making. And then they wouldn't show the night raid, and then they'd interview them again after. Hey, how did it go? It's like the sideline reporters on any sportscast you've seen, you know, and they always ask the same questions. That's what the news was doing to the troops who were fighting this particular battle.
They wouldn't show the bombs exploding directly, but they would have like CNN reporters on a rooftop or something, and then in the background you'd see the tracers on the, you know, the missiles.
Oh yeah, you
or
could
whatever.
See the what was it called? Shock and awe.
Yeah,
right. They
yeah,
certainly televised that. It looked like fireworks,
yeah,
except
exactly.
in
the,
a city.
The bombing of Baghdad, but you would only see like the roofs of the buildings. There were no actual people, because then people might start to think, oh right, it's actual human beings who are being reduced to fragments here.
The number 603-283-6160 now. In Ukraine, the story that the people who support Ukraine don't want to read. We'll tell you more about that coming up, what they're up to. It's Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us here, the number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Coming up, the latest of the repression going on in the so-called freedom country of Ukraine. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Because Mountaineer.
And the captain. And
it's such a free country that they can, you know, lock up all of their political opposition.
Yep, that's what we're going to get into here in just a moment. Again, the number is 603-283-6160. You can join us online, of course, anytime you want. Just head over to freetalklive.com and enjoy the features that are waiting for you there. I want to say thanks to Ala Loca, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of the AMPS Patreon, which stands for AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. Ala Loca's gold level, which means she's doing at least $10 a month. So thank you, Ala Loca, for that level of support. We ask for $5, so really appreciate that. You get some cool benefits if you sign up over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. We'll get into Ukraine in a moment, but we got David on the line in New Mexico. First up, David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Plot twist. So there's so much bad stuff to say about judges, especially here in New Mexico, that I never get around to the few good ones that probably should get a mention once in a while, because what they do is appreciated. And
good ones.
Yeah, the ones that will not talk you down, shut you down, shut you up, act like a biatch to you, whether they're male or female, abuse your rights, the ones that actually do what you think a judge should be doing, to summarize it. And so in the case of the Metro Court in Albuquerque, I found there happened to be three different examples, and I opened up the website for the Metro Court judges, and it might have discovered something here, because the ones that I were going to name, two out of the three that I was going to name as positive actually have risen to chief judge, one being Chief Judge Maria Dominguez, the chief judge of the, let's see, I forget which division she's in.
I don't believe you can rise to any level of accomplishment in the justice, so-called justice system, without being an arch statist and sending tons of peaceful people to their doom. I mean, are you just saying they're doing their so-called jobs without being an a-hole, like not yelling at somebody as they send them off to a prison camp or whatever?
Yeah, what I'm saying is that until Ian single-handedly does away with the judicial system nationwide, we're stuck with it. And as we're stuck with it, in my experience, there's some complete a-holes, and I've named a bunch of them, and I can name a bunch more that I haven't named.
Sure.
And what I'm doing is pointing out that within this system that needs some major reform, there are a few people that I have had positive experiences with on a repeated basis. And in an effort to change the system, I'm going to name them. So Judge Chief Judge Maria Dominguez, the Chief Judge of the Metro Court in Albuquerque. And another one is Frank Cedillo. He happens to be the presiding judge of the civil division, and Victor Valdez.
All right, well, for anybody that's going to go to court, there you go. You, of course, you get a random choice of which judge you get there in wherever it is you go, so you can't request any of those judges. And, of course, they're all going to carry water for the state, and they're all going to do exactly what they're told to do.
I do wonder what he considers a positive experience.
I think he just means the
judges.
Dude's not a total a-hole, yeah. Right? Like, if you've been in front, thank you, David, for the call tonight. If you've been in front of judges, you know some of them are more likely to just snap at a moment's notice. They're just going to throw you in the clink for contempt just because you looked at them the wrong right. way, or you had a piece of gum when you walked in the room, or whatever it is. They got a hair up their butt, and they're going to take it out on the next person they have an excuse to do that with.
Well, some people are less bad at wielding the unreasonable yeah. powers that we give these people.
Yeah. I mean, a good judge would be somebody who actually sat up there and dismissed every single case that didn't yeah. have a victim. If that judge exists out there, I will go ahead and say that is a good judge.
Well, and
yeah. David, I would actually stand up for somebody like that.
And David said something that continues to bother me. He brought up the word reform. Right. Now, first of all, in order for something to need reform, that first of all means that you've identified that whatever's going on, in this case, the judicial system, isn't working. Mm-hmm. It's broken. It's not doing the thing that everybody thinks it's supposed to do. So then it needs to be reformed. Well, these things have all been reformed in one way or another over the course of a couple hundred years now, right? And it's still broken. So I suggest yeah. that the next time you read a newspaper or you get some sort of notice in your mail or your local publication, or you get an email or something online where somebody talks about reform, just try this on for size. Just instead of pronouncing the word reform in your head as you're reading these things, put the word abolish or abolition in place of reform and see if it makes more logical sense, because it does.
Well, in the case of a court system, though, you don't want to just leave a vacuum there. What you want to do is replace it. I mean, you don't want to reform it either, because that obviously isn't working. But what we want, it's not that we don't want courts. Courts are great. Like, we need we have disputes to resolve. What we need is to replace this court system with one that's voluntary.
I don't like to even refer to them as a court system, because everybody thinks government when you say court system. They can't think outside of that when they think, when you just said just now, we need courts, we need court system, everybody who's a statist went, yeah, we do, because that's what we have. And you've confused people.
So you're suggesting arbitration instead?
What we need is a new innovation in dispute resolution.
Hmm.
Well, so, I mean, where the word came from was the court of the king, right?
Yeah.
So I think that the ideal system is one in which each and every one of us is a king. Like, I'm king, you're king.
Yeah, that's what it means to be a sovereign.
Exactly.
Yes.
Each one of us being sovereign.
Or a captain.
So, like, the idea of there being a court for each of us does kind of make sense. But I can see how it's sort of like people see the king as the government. Like, the government is
right.
the king that owns them, and, oh, you are violating the king's peace by doing whatever actual behavior that doesn't harm anyone.
Right. And what you're suggesting, though, by, you know, okay, if we abolish government courts, right, what you're suggesting is they don't need to be replaced, because we already have the things that would replace it. We have arbitration, as mm-hmm. Ian mentioned. Right, we have other forms of dispute resolution. We can look to the past for a lot of the solutions to these things. The Irish used to have voluntary organizations known as tuatha, and mm-hmm. they would identify somebody within each of their tuatha, their communities, if you will.
A respected person.
A respected person who was smarter than the average bear, you know, whom everybody sort of agreed on. When they couldn't solve the problems themselves, they would say, will you agree to go see this person? Yes, we will. Okay, so we have these things. They just need a chance because government claims the monopoly on these services. So right. Outside of things like international business law, arbitration has a very niche market for like corporate entities and stuff like that. It doesn't have a daily impact on anybody's lives, you know, as far as a common man is concerned. Nobody goes to another person and goes, hey, you know what, outside of libertarian circles, hey, we should arbitrate this dispute, all right? Because that's just not how it happens. Everybody looks to the government.
Well, there's a lot of corporations that if you want to interact with them, you have to agree to an arbitration if there's
almost all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's in that contract that you didn't read.
Yep.
The terms and conditions. The number is 603-283-6160. You can join us here. Share your thoughts. How do you reform, so-called, or abolish the court system? Because if you don't have something to replace it with, a lot of people are going to oppose the idea.
Hi, I'm Derek J. To me, an activist's calling is to actively work to advance a cause. The cause for which I work is personal freedom. I believe my life is best when I engage in voluntary interactions and self-government. I reject the idea that anyone else has a higher claim to my life or my body than I do. I see people who call themselves the government as a threat to my personal freedom. I realize you may feel differently, but my relationship with the people who call themselves the government is completely involuntary. If Starbucks used some of its money to drop bombs, I wouldn't shop there. So why would I support the American Empire? The Empire does not require my consent.
Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
Free Talk Live. The phones are open. Live Saturday edition continuing. You can join us. The number 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Nicholas Mountaineer.
And Reverend Captain Kickass.
603-283-6160. We're going to get into Ukraine and the crackdown on dissent in the supposedly free country of Ukraine. That's what they keep telling us in the mainstream media. That's what Biden
keep telling people in the USA, too, that it's the land of the free, home of the brave, yeah. When it's really the land of the fee and the home of the slave.
We go to more of your calls and thoughts. You can join us online, of course, at freetalklive.com. We do have a social media site. It's social.freetalklive.com. It's open source. Mastodon system is what it's based on. And it means we're running the software. It's not some sort of big tech mega corporation that's doing it. Works a lot like Twitter. In fact, that's what it was designed to do. But it's just without all the evil big tech stuff behind the scenes. So you can go and interact with other Free Talk Live listeners there and do it for free over at social.freetalklive.com. Plus, since it's federated with the rest of the mastodons out there, or most all of them, I suppose, you can connect with other people on other mastodons as well. So it's not just a wild garden, as they call it. It's connected to thousands of other systems. So, we go to your phone calls and thoughts. Robert is in South Carolina. You're on Free Talk Live. Robert.
Yes. I just wanted to say, you know, that I'm actually impressed by the judiciousness of the United States court system. I mean, in the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, I mean, you know, they really, really considered everything. The judge did an excellent job. He did a superb job. I mean, that poor kid could have been sent to prison for the rest of his life for being very cautious and doing a great job. I mean, to hold his fire until, I mean, if he didn't hold his fire until, I mean, he himself would have been done in. I mean, he held his fire to like to the last second. I mean, was in a really, really dangerous situation. And the court recognized that.
I don't think it was the system at all that caused that justice to occur. What happened is that you had the focus of the entire country on that court, mm-hmm. So they weren't able to be unbelievably unjust like they are in every single other court case.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, mind you, if this had been a federal case, that wouldn't have happened.
Because you can't bring a video camera into a federal court.
Exactly. Right.
This is why we never saw any televised aspects of, what's her name?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
But yet Johnny Derp gets play all day long.
Yeah, Robert, I mean, there's nothing the government does that doesn't impress you. You've called this show a number of times, and you love lauding the state for what they do. But the reality is the so-called justice system puts peaceful people behind bars day in and day out. I mean, that's the bulk of what the justice system does.
There are more people in United States prisons than any other country has ever had in all of history. This includes the gulags. This includes, you name it, there are more people in prison in the United States of America than any other place at any other time in all of Earth's history.
Hold on. Are you saying at when any one time
yes.
in any other one place? Okay, just to make sure we're not.
Yeah,
I want to make sure I was clear on that.
But it's still a pretty big statement, right? For the land of the free and the home of the brave, supposedly, right? Why are so many people in prison, particularly for nonviolent crimes or crimes where there's no victim?
They need bodies in cells so they can make bigger budgets. But go ahead, Robert.
Well, you know something? I've been around the world. I've seen a lot of places and a lot of things. And I must say that all in all, the United States is... it's really not that bad by any means.
You know what you haven't seen? You haven't seen a government that earns its respect instead of creates it out of fear.
Thanks for the call tonight, Robert. Tell that to Ross Ulbricht, who's sitting right in behind bars for a double life sentence plus 40 years for running a website. And he's not the only person out there who's being punished unjustly by this system. Now, you may be able to say that, oh, well, it's still a better system than what they might have in Saudi Arabia, where they may actually strap you to a rack and torture you or
cut off a
like
hand
that.
Or something, right? Yeah.
Okay, fine. I'll give you that. As far as comparing tyrannies, the U.S. tyranny, at least on its face, appears to be a little less tyrannical than some of the rest of the world. But that's not worth lauding, and it's not worth cheering about, and it's not worth acting like it's something special, because it's not, because peaceful people are being put away for, in many cases, the rest of their lives, yeah, if not decades of their lives, and they have never harmed another human being.
And it's not worth respecting.
Absolutely not.
And Robert's been, you've been to a whole bunch of different countries, and I've just been right here watching this country become a worse country than this country used to be. And, like, I wasn't a huge fan of what this country was to begin with, but it keeps getting worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. They're not releasing more and more people from prison cells. The system barely is able to reform itself. It's taken five decades now to see some minor marijuana reforms in the United States.
There are still people who are in prison for marijuana. Prison for marijuana. For something that has either been decriminalized or legalized in most of the United States now, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah,
most
states if you count medical. Yeah.
Counting medical, everybody agrees across the board that marijuana is pretty much a not harmful thing.
Well, and that's the thing. They don't want you deciding how to treat your health. They want power over your health. They want to make all of the decisions about, and this is just
and
a
that
natural,
hasn't changed.
Yeah, and it's a natural extension of, oh, we want you to protect us. So yeah, sure. When I was growing up, it was the 9/11 means that we got to go after the terrorists and the Patriot Act and all of that. Okay, so you gave the government a whole bunch of powers to protect you. All right, well, this is the same thing in a different way. It's a different flavor of, oh, government, protect my health. And sure, next it's going to be, oh, government, protect the environment from me. Uh-huh.
Nice. And just to further illustrate the prison thing, people who were convicted of marijuana offenses in the states where it's completely legal across the board, recreational, medical, otherwise, Washington State, Colorado, those two states specifically, if you were busted for some sort of marijuana offense that landed you in prison and you're still in there, tell me why. Why are you in there? It's completely legal. The first thing they should have done when both of these states legalized this thing is released the people who were convicted of marijuana offenses. But they did not do that. Mm-hmm. They are still in frickin' jail.
And that's what proves that the point of this was never that we have actual justice. It's not that, like, you did a bad thing, therefore you're being punished. No. If that was the case, then we would let people out of jail when the law changes. When we go, oh, we were wrong to punish you for doing this thing. No, it is about your obedience.
Yes.
We had a rule, and you didn't obey it. So you stay right where you are.
Yeah, and it's also political. I mean, this is the politicians are people who, when they see a parade, they run out in front of it and they act like they were there the whole time. And the same thing, you know, they're licking their finger, sticking it up in the wind, like, oh, people are saying they want to legalize cannabis. Well, I'm going to go for that. I'm that's now my issue, and they run with that. But no one has actually learned any lessons about prohibition here. No. This is just a political opportunity for these politicians to stay in office, to gain some brownie points for the next election, because at the same time as we're seeing cannabis being decriminalized, in the news this week, the FDA is now going to outlaw menthol cigarettes at the national level.
Yeah.
They also, in the last couple of years, increased the age of purchase for all cigarettes from 18 to 21 nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
They're
completely open about the fact that they are doing this because they are racist. The reason that they are illegalizing menthol cigarettes is because they have a higher usage in African American communities, and that's a no. And they admit this is why we're doing it. We don't believe that African Americans can choose whether or not they smoke cigarettes, so we're going to illegalize the ones they like.
I do want to tell you guys that there is a completely 100% natural alternative to help kids today discontinue vaping. It's called cigarettes.
Well, they haven't banned vapes yet, but that's probably coming. The number is 603-283-6160. So, you know, now they're going to start putting people away for selling black market cigarettes instead of marijuana, which, of course...
Wasn't that how George Floyd started?
He was selling Lucy's. Yeah.
George Floyd was selling Lucy's?
Yeah.
Wasn't it George Floyd?
I might be.
Were you thinking of the guy in New York City?
I am thinking of the guy in New York City.
I can't breathe.
No,
that was George Floyd. Yeah. But they also choked out the guy in New York City. Maybe he didn't have a chance to yell, "I can't breathe." More coming up here in moments. You can join us 603-283-6160, and you can share your thoughts here on Free Talk Live. Talk Live. You can join us right here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. People are still in the streets in Ottawa. The numbers are down significantly from earlier today, but maybe there's going to be more out there tomorrow. We'll keep you in the loop as if this continues to develop. It was supposed to be a big day today, and don't know what else, if anything, is scheduled there. But if you missed that part of the show, you can grab it later on tonight over at freetalklive.com. We spent about the first hour on what's been going on in Canada in the last 48 hours. With you tonight, it's Ian.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And the Captain.
Now we're going to shift over to Ukraine, where the Western mainstream media and the United States federal government is painting the Ukraine government as this freedom-oriented place. Hey, this is a freedom battle. We got to defend the freedom side. Russia bad, Kremlin bad, Ukraine good, Ukraine freedom, Ukraine liberty.
Before we get into that, I do just want to offer a quick correction. I thought that Yemen was north of Saudi Arabia. It's actually south.
So. Oh, had you said that on the air? Yeah, I didn't notice it. Otherwise, I should have said something. But
Sorry about that, everybody.
No worries. So this is from Kharkiv, which is the second largest city in Ukraine. The Associated Press, surprisingly, reporting on this. Victor appeared nervous as a masked Ukrainian security officers, or multiple officers, in full riot gear, camouflage, and weapons pushed into his cluttered apartment in the northern city of Kharkiv. His hands trembled, and he tried to cover his face. The middle-aged man came to the attention of Ukraine Security Service, the SBU, after what the authorities said were his social media posts praising Russian President Vladimir Putin for, quote, fighting with the Nazis, unquote. He also apparently posted that he wanted regions of Ukraine to secede and labeled the national flag as a, quote, symbol of death.
Move to New Hampshire, bro.
I was going to say, we say this stuff all the time on this show. Quote, yes, I supported the Russian invasion of Ukraine a lot, he said. I'm sorry. I have already changed my mind, he told the invading troops. Trembling, his voice showing clear signs of duress in the presence of the Ukrainian security officers. Get your things and get dressed, an officer said before escorting him out of the apartment. The SBU did not reveal the man's last name, citing their investigation. So even though it was done with the Associated Press right there, they still will have no way of actually tracing this man and figuring out to which holding facility he's being kept.
This bit about social media now becoming your proxy permanent record is really frickin' disturbing, not only in this case, but in, well, every case.
Victor was one of nearly 400 people in just the Kharkiv region alone who have been detained under anti-collaboration laws enacted quickly by Ukraine's parliament and signed by President Vladimir Zelensky. You know, that freedom-loving guy that everybody's supposed to support?
Oh, yeah, liberty and democracy. That's where you have one party, right?
Offenders face just a mere up to 15 years in prison for collaborating with Russian forces or simply making public denials about Russian aggression. So if you deny publicly that the invasion is even happening, they will come to your house, kick in your door, and take you away.
We said this is happening. You have no right to tell people that it isn't.
We'll show you what an invasion looks like.
Right. Tell us that there's no invasion happening.
Anyone whose actions results in deaths could face life in prison. Or if you post anything about supporting Moscow. Quote, accountability for collaboration is inevitable. And whether it will happen tomorrow or the day after tomorrow is another question, said Zelensky. He went on saying, quote, the most important thing is that justice will be served inevitably.
And I gotta say, like, when your opponent is claiming that a bunch of people in your country want to be part of their country, and your response to this includes, well, we're going to go ahead and lock up anyone who claims that they want to be part of your country.
That's right.
Doesn't really give you a lot of credibility.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, governments do not earn respect.
Right.
They only gain it through fear and intimidation and coercion.
Well, same old story.
Well, and I mean, there is something to be said about being motivated by fear, because, like, the reason that I get on here and talk about all of these topics, in spite of the fact that the risks are continuously increasing, is that I am terrified of what happens when people stop expressing themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I could not be more frightened by the possibility of when we lose the ability to solve our problems by speaking.
For me, it's just a matter of when somebody says, you know, oh, well, when all this was going down, what did you actually do? Well, here I am, right? Mm-hmm. I'm on nationally broadcast frickin' radio. I'm at least speaking out about all of this crap.
Thankfully, we can still do that.
Yeah, because there's going to, and when we're silenced, when that happens, and if you think that it hasn't been on their minds, I beg to differ. Mm-hmm. But when that happens...
Well, they did raid the studio a year ago.
A couple of times now.
Well, and people think that there's nothing they can do. I mean, like, if you really want to do something, move to New Hampshire.
If you're a libertarian, yeah,
right,
come
yeah,
on
exactly.
Up
if you really want to do something to, like, live in a world that is less controlled by government, you can do that. Or if you don't have, like, the ability or the inclination to go that far, you could at least learn how to run a cryptocurrency wallet so that you can start picking away at the infinite power that these people have.
Oh, you just reminded me about another story that I had from Ukraine where they are now prohibiting people in Ukraine, so Ukrainian folks, from using the local currency. I don't remember what it's called. It is the...
Oh, it's the...
Hrvnya.
Yeah, yeah. I had something on that as well for show prep.
Coindesk.com reporting on this one that individuals in Ukraine are now being prohibited from using the Hrvnya from purchasing cryptocurrency
local currency. And in fact, if they want to purchase cryptocurrency, they have to do so with a foreign currency.
Correct.
And they limit that as well.
Up to $3,400 worth per month is what they can do.
Yeah.
Now, this is after... Remember at the very beginning...
so free.
Well, remember at the very beginning of this conflict, the Bitcoin got a bunch of coverage because Ukraine's government was accepting it.
And a bunch of people donated.
And a bunch of suckers, for whatever reason, you know, they just bought into this whole thing, said, oh, well, we'll just send 200 Bitcoin or whatever it was. It was like, I think it was like $200 million. Yeah. It was way more than 200 Bitcoin, but it was a lot of money's worth of Bitcoin got sent over to this government. And, you know, the Bitcoiners, some of these guys, they just... they're so starstruck by government people. It's like, oh, El Salvador, you guys like Bitcoin over there, even though the dude's a tyrant. And then now in Ukraine, oh God, we can give Bitcoin to this government? All right, let's do that. Yeah, freedom. And now they're cracking, you know, they crack down on their own people, not even allowing their own people to purchase Bitcoin with their own local currency.
Well, and the currency thing is, like, this is the real story. Like, sure, we're talking about, like, and sure, the invasion of Ukraine is an important news story we should be talking about. Mm-hmm. But, you know, half the time we're talking about who slapped whom at the Oscars. And, like,
yep.
Even in the important story of the invasion of Ukraine, the actual important story is that there is a war of currencies going on right now. Because, I mean, right. what's happening in Ukraine, honestly, is that NATO will fight Russia down to the last Ukrainian. That's what's happening.
Sure.
And boy, do they really want to use up some of their stockpiles of old weapons, getting Ukrainians killed so that they can, you know, spend tax money on making new weapons so they can pay back the people that put them in office in the first place. But what's really happening is a currency war. Like, the dollar hegemony has been shaken more than it has in my entire lifetime and long before that.
And Russia is finally getting closer. There was a headline at RT that was a little misleading. When you actually read the story, it revealed they weren't quite done yet. But they're getting closer to implementing their mandatory, if you're an unfriendly country, you can only buy gas
with rubles.
Yeah,
they cut off Poland and I think it was Bulgaria. Yeah,
it was at least Poland I read about. Yeah,
it was...
The restrictions, according to CoinDesk, on the crypto purchases in Ukraine are being taken, quote, to prevent unproductive outflow of capital from the country under martial law. And we talked weeks ago about when they proclaimed martial law for Ukraine because, you know, freedom. Oh, yeah. And remember when they blocked the borders from men under the ages of 60 from being able to actually leave the country because they're expecting them to be drafted or whatever.
Right.
So, I mean, this in no way has Ukraine acted in any way like a free country would act.
You can't leave. We're rounding you up and putting you to death. And nor should drafting you.
Right. And nor should anyone have suspected that it would act like a free country. I mean, all you have to do is look at the statistics. Ukraine and the Russian Federation are, you know, relatively close on the rankings of free countries. And when I say that, I mean they're toward the bottom of the list.
Yep. Right.
You know, like they're in the bottom half of freest countries on the planet.
I just want to remind everybody that it's not possible to kill your way to peace and freedom and compassion and that kind of a thing, particularly via government.
There's more coming up. If you want to weigh in, you can join us here. Hour 3 is on the way, live Saturday show with you. It's 603-283-6160 if you want to join Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us here. We're kicking off the third hour of this live Saturday show. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Bigfoot's Mountain Bear.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
Of course, you can bring up anything. We've been covering some international news. In Canada, in Ottawa, there were thousands of people in the streets today protesting the various different COVID-related restrictions. Along with hundreds of bikers this time, not the truckers this time, the bikers led the protest, which is very interesting. They called it Rolling Thunder. We covered that earlier. Plus, in Ukraine, they're cracking down on people who are speaking out because, well, they don't care about freedom in Ukraine. This fight between Russia and Ukraine isn't in any way about liberty, which is, of course, what the U.S. government wants you to believe.
Well, and this guy's already locked up his political opponents.
Yep, that's right.
At this point, he's been locking up people who are like on his side more or less, but he doesn't like them as much.
But it's okay because he's not as bad as Putin.
Right, exactly. Right?
So therefore, we need to give him billions of taxpayer dollars. And so that's one of the other things we've covered. If you want to weigh in, talk about Yemen or whatever's on your mind, 603-283-6160. Sarah is on the line to start things out this hour in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
I just want to let you know that I've been living here for 20 years, 22 years. I just learned that here in New Mexico, you only need one license plate on your car.
On the back, right?
But what I wish
you
is that...
Hold
I
on, you just had, learned that and you're a pedestrian?
Well,
I mean, they require them both
here. I never paid attention. You know what? I'm amazed. I just learned that because I thought they had two license plates. But what the problem is,
how could you be a pedestrian for as long as you've been? You don't drive. How could you be a pedestrian and not notice? I mean, maybe it's just completely out of your purview, right? Like, you don't think about things like tags on cars because you've never had one, so you don't know anything about it. But it would just seem like, I don't know, you'd think you'd pick up on that at some point that, there's only license plates on the backs of cars around here.
Well, the only reason that I was talking to the, I called the mayor's office, and I was talking to one of the liaisons, and then he mentioned that, how do you call that, liaison. Yeah, right. And then he's the one that said that, well, they only require one license plate, so it's going to be hard to the speeding cameras to get a good picture because they only have one license plate to work with.
So you want to
know why it crossed your radar.
Yeah,
so you want to make it
so that they have to have two license plates so they can be more easily ticketed and raise more money for the state is what you're saying, right?
Well, what I would really like is I would like them to have one license plate in the first place because half the people run around with no license plate at all.
Oh, sure. That's a total load.
No, but they should. They don't, but they should, in my opinion, because license plates serve almost zero purpose. The only purpose that they serve is to be easily legible for law enforcement. That's the only purpose they serve.
To generate revenue.
Well, yes but
that's
every
the real
other
reason.
Every other reason that a government would give you for license plates to exist is already encapsulated within a vehicle's VIN number, the vehicle identification number.
I'll give you this though, Captain. I mean, if somebody robs a bank and they get in a car and somebody sees the license plate as they're getting in the car and they identify that, in theory, that could be used to identify that car on the road quicker than a VIN number, right? Like, you don't know what the VIN number is of a car. That's probably, I don't know, 20 digits or something like that, and it's only stamped in certain places on the actual vehicle. So I can understand that excuse.
If I owned a set of roads, I could definitely, I would probably require that you have a legible way of discerning your vehicle from other vehicles.
That said, though, we don't have that problem in New Hampshire during the winter time when almost every license plate is coated with snow.
Yeah.
Now, technically, it's not legal to travel in New Hampshire and obscure your license plate with snow. That's not technically legal, but that doesn't mean that it isn't happening all the time. And it's one of those things that just kind of makes me smile during the winter here in New Hampshire as I'm driving around. It's like, you just can't even identify half the people's license plates, especially during a snowstorm or something like that, when it's impossible to expect somebody to, you know, get out of their car constantly and clear this thing off. Yeah. But even after a snowstorm, for however many days it is until the snow happens to melt enough to where a lot of people don't ever clear that thing off and they never get pulled over for it. And you know what? There's not some sort of higher incidence of bank robbery going on during
That's
the wintertime.
One thing a VIN number does that a license plate does not do is the VIN number doesn't expire.
That's true as well. It's not easily replaceable. Thank you, Sarah, for the call tonight. Because, right, anybody, any criminal who is at least a little bit thoughtful, if they're going to go and do something nasty and they're going to take a car to do that thing, they could just change out the plate from some other car.
Yeah, and even television and movies have that whenever let's swap a plate before we go do a thing.
Right. If you're intelligent and criminal, then you join politics. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Yeah, if
that's
you want to make real
like,
money. Yeah.
Like, if you're criminal but not intelligent, then you don't go to where you can get away with doing crimes.
Well, plus, the reason why you don't get away with bank robberies here in New Hampshire is there's a good chance somebody standing in the lobby is going to be carrying a gun, and you'll get shot before you get out the front door.
That's very true.
Not to say it hasn't happened. I did hear about it in Concord once at a bank that was there.
But earlier in the program, we mentioned the big biker get-together at Sturgis every year.
Yeah.
Right? Why is that so peaceful?
They're all armed.
It's in South Dakota and like open carry.
There's probably a fracas at a bar here and there.
I'm not saying that like occasionally something doesn't happen, but what I'm saying is that for that many people of, you know, having that large of a party.
Oh, yeah.
Where
the police apparatus is completely overwhelmed in that
situation.
Completely
overwhelmed. But yet the fest, if you will, is completely peaceful every year. Right.
Yeah. Considering the large number of people there. Not very many issues beyond an occasional fight over a girl at a bar or something like that.
Somebody gets too wasted and, you know, puts their hands on the wrong person.
And that happens everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So outside of that, you know, it's because everybody's heavily armed, or at least armed.
Yeah, yeah, a perfect example is the trucker rally, and like suddenly you have a huge population of people moving into a city. You have no additional police force, at least immediately,
right?
And completely peaceful.
Yeah, most of the cops were the ones that were violent in that case.
Yeah, it really does put the lie to this myth that the police are what keep human beings peaceful. No, we keep ourselves peaceful.
Yeah.
And the more that we are enabled to do that, the more we do it. So in New Hampshire, where we have constitutional carry, we are much more capable of keeping our peace.
So I want to come back to the Ukraine story, just because there's some more interesting details here about them rounding up dissidents. If you say something that could be interpreted as pro-Russian, if you say something that denies that the invasion is even happening, which isn't even necessarily pro-Russian.
Are there invasion deniers?
Well, they'll get snatched up if they're public about it, and then they get taken away, and who knows where they're taken to.
Well, and I will say that there are some, like, what was it, Bucha, I think was the name of the place, mm-hmm. where, like, there's, which... Great name for this,
where
right?
people were butchered.
Yeah, and there are these sort of, you know, questionable circumstances of like, well, wait a second, did this happen? Did it happen the way that they're describing?
And if it did, who did it?
Right, and obviously these people, if they say, well, no, that didn't happen here, you get rounded up.
That's a great point.
Yeah,
right, because the Western media said, oh, well, it was the Russians. And the Russians said, well, no, it wasn't. We left the weekend prior or the week prior, and it must have been the Ukrainians. Government and the Russians were going to the UN to call some sort of special session to investigate that. I don't know what the current status of that has been, but it's like, who do you believe? As you pointed out, anybody that actually witnessed it wouldn't be able to speak out against the Ukrainians. Mm-hmm.
So if they say, no, that didn't happen, or no, it wasn't the Russians, well, they get rounded up. And I mean, they know this. So
15
most
years
people,
in prison.
Yeah, most people, they know this, so it has that chilling effect on speech, right. So they just don't.
Yeah, who wants to go up against the almighty power of the state, where you're not even going to get a show trial? It's martial law right now.
Yeah.
And why would it change away from martial law at any point in the future? The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We got more on exactly what, or at least allegedly, what this crackdown includes on speech in Ukraine. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The phones are open. If you want to join us here, we're talking about Ukraine and their crackdown on dissent. Because what they're telling you in the mainstream media about Ukraine being all about freedom, oh, it's freedom going to, you know, oppose the Nazis and Hitler, the new Hitler in Russia. Well, Putin's a bad guy. There's no doubt about it. But so is the Zelensky character in Ukraine. And so are the people that work for him.
They are governments, after all.
Exactly. So we continue here with a story from MercuryNews.com and the AP, where you could face up to 15 years in prison for simply publicly denying the invasion. Or for... quote-unquote, collaborating with Russian forces. Or in the case of the man that they gave the example of at the beginning where the AP was actually there for the raid in this particular, in one man's case, he spoke out in favor of secession.
It's so weird because, like, I hadn't questioned the invasion at all up until you just told me that you know, somebody there in the Ukraine could be taken away. Right, by government, you know, guys, goons in with guns and uniforms, or whatever, for denying the invasion. So, like, now I'm like, well, so did the invasion really happen? If they're saying that,
I think something's happened there. I mean, there's definitely people.
I think so too. One of the things that people don't seem to realize is the whole fog of war effect. Mm. So, I mean, at the same time that the actual, like, killing each other part of war is happening there, what's happening to the rest of us that are tangentially involved in this?
It's propaganda.
Exactly. We are being propagandized by both sides. Mm-hmm. So disinformation and misinformation is flying all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you really can't be sure of what exactly is happening.
No, we can't know anything. I mean, we have had a couple people call in from Ukraine, and maybe they're telling us the truth. But in the case of the lady that's called Galina, she says she's an anarchist, and she admits she hasn't really seen much of anything happening herself.
I've seen some videos of some, you know, places exploding and or being bombed, that kind of a thing.
Some of it's old video.
But I don't know, like, I've never been to the Ukraine, so I'm not, I can't be like, oh, that's that neighborhood I walked through.
Well, a lot of people can check the video and see if it was ever released on the internet before, and a bunch of it has been.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so many examples where we know for a fact that we have been lied to. So, about this exact event where all this video comes out that, oh, no, 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 that was actually the United States in Syria or wherever.
Oh, no, 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 that was a video game. That happened.
Yeah, yeah. The ghost of Kyiv. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, right. Well, and I mean, like, from the get-go, like, the mainstream media, I have been hearing, what little I hear of them, like, they're talking, oh, yeah, Ukraine is totally whooping Russia. And I'm like, no, I'm sorry, no. Ukraine is not going to win this. Like, NATO might keep pouring soldiers in to make this a real, like, questionable who gets to die. But, like, no.
Some businessmen, according to the AP, civic and state officials and members of the military are among those who have gone over to the Russian side, and Ukraine's State Bureau of Investigations, I guess that's their equivalent of the FBI, has said more than 200 criminal cases on collaboration have been opened.
Wait, would that be the UBI?
USBI in that case, oh, but okay. Zelensky has even stripped two of his generals of their rank, accusing them of treason. A, quote, registry of collaborators, unquote, is being compiled.
At what point do you hear all of these things and not go, this sounds like Nazi Germany?
It sure does, doesn't it?
It sure does.
Yeah.
That's funny. I was thinking about Stalin.
Oh, okay, sure.
He had lists,
but,
too.
Know, tomato, tomato.
Yeah. They're going to release this to the public, said the head of Ukraine's Security Council. He refused to say, however, how many people have been targeted nationwide. With martial law in place, authorities have banned 11 pro-Russian political parties. We talked about that when it happened several weeks ago, including the largest one that had 25 seats in the 450-member parliament. Yep, y'all are out. Yeah, you were elected legitimately, presumably, at some point, but we don't want you here anymore. The opposition Platform for Life, which was founded by Viktor Medvedchuk, a jailed oligarch with close ties to Putin. In fact, we talked about them locking him up. That Viktor guy, he's gotten rounded up, put in a jail cell. Authorities say pro-Russian activists in southeastern Ukraine, the site of active fighting, are helping the invaders by acting as spotters to direct shelling. And then it goes on. Kharkiv has been detaining people who support the invasion, calling for secession, and claim that Ukrainian forces are shelling their own cities, which is, of course, a very realistic possibility.
Yeah, I mean, these explosions are happening, and who's to say who's causing them?
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of how war works.
I mean, we've seen this before, Gulf of Tonkin. Right?
Yeah, oh, this talking
thing,
about
this
false
thing
flags.
Happened. Yep, false flag. This thing happened, and so we're going to war because of it. But that thing was caused by the people who wanted to go to war.
Yeah, and it goes all the way back. Remember the Maine. I mean, every major military conflict was started by some false flag or another. So I would be surprised if the same situation isn't going on this one.
A person in Ukraine can be detained for up to 30 days without a court order. And anti-terrorism legislation under martial law allows authorities not to tell defense attorneys about their clients being remanded.
Well, that sounds just like here.
What do you mean?
With the, the Not Freedom Act, whatever.
Patriot?
Yes, thank you. The Non-Patriotic Act, where they can, like, detain folks, you know, as long as they claim that they think that you are some sort of a terrorist.
You know, I've never heard that your attorney doesn't know about it here in the U.S., but I guess, you know, they can do what they want.
Well, that was the thing about it is once you have this label applied to you, you don't have any rights.
You're outside of the system.
Right. And as for what are the requirements for that label being applied to you? Well, we believe it.
Quote, in effect, these people disappear and for 30 days there's no access to them, said somebody who I guess is a coordinator for the Center for Civil Liberties. He said, in reality, law enforcement has powers to take anyone. But yeah, we should celebrate the freedom there in Ukraine because, you know, that's what this fight's all about.
Sounds super sovereign to me.
Yeah, that's what we need to be sending billions of taxpayer dollars in the U.S. over there. I think he said he needed $7 billion a month, Zelensky, recently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure none of that money is going to fall into the hands of the Azov Battalion, the people that are the Nazis that are actually working for the government apparatus there.
Yeah, and
I was just going to say, it's a good thing that there's, you know, clear-cut good guys and bad guys in this NATO proxy war.
Yeah, clearly.
And in case you thought that government actually gave a crap about, you know, its own people, well, think of all the good things that money could have done for folks on this side.
If you want to join the show, you're welcome to weigh in here. We're going to change gears and actually go a little more local. You've got something coming out of Kansas.
Yes, and it's not just carry on, my wayward son.
They're apparently banning roommates in one city in Kansas?
This is what it sounds like, yeah. I know that I grew up a very poor person, and in order for me to make it through the world, I had to live with roommates for quite some time.
Yes.
In many different varieties of ways, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, and this happening in a time when people need to cut their expenses more than any time in my recollection. There's more coming out, 603-283-6160. We'll find out where this is happening, what exactly it is that they're doing, and how it's affecting people. And if you want to weigh in, you can join us at 603-283-6160 here on Free Talk Live's Live Saturday show. It's Free Talk Live. Phones are open if you want to join us here. It's the Live Saturday episode. The number is 603-283-6160. Here tonight, it's Ian.
Bigel's Mountaineer.
And the Reverend Captain Kickass.
You can join us online. Head over to freetalklive.com. And please do enjoy the features we have there for you. We've got our own chat server. It is a Matrix server, which means it's open source. It's federated. And it's self-hosted, so we run the thing, not some big tech megacorporation. You can go to chat.freetalklive.com to get the details on how to get connected to that server. That's chat.freetalklive.com. We're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts, and then coming up, Captain, you're going to tell us about roommates. Sounds like they're being banned in one part of Kansas. We'll find out more about that.
They voted 8-0.
Unanimously banned.
To right. ban co-living.
We'll get into that. But first, Jack is on the line in Washington State. Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, Captain Kickbutt said something about how he's kind of coming to the realization that there's, you know, with Ukraine and Russia, because I was the same way. If you go back to, like, day one, day two of the war, the news had, like, these really distinguished, like, legitimate distinguished generals on there, saying that Russia's going to win in 1 or 2 days, over the weekend. You can find that stuff. They haven't. So these generals were just that far off, you know? And then the money we're sending them, the lack of actual video, which I've called on this before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's one of the most damning things, is Ukraine supposedly has internet, so why don't we see, I don't know, hundreds of videos, dozens.
Yeah,
you don't even see it.
Well, and I mean, like, it's extremely rare historically for an invasion to be over in a matter of days.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Like, that's just a thing that mostly never happens.
And you guys were talking about Yemen too, and you know, Yemen suffered miserably, and we don't hear about that. 10 times, I guess. I think you guys said fatalities. I haven't double check that, but why is it so important? It sounds like this is some weird government buyout, Republican and Democrat government. What is it? Blackmail or payment or something weird. And Zelensky, something's weird with him too. You guys have nailed it on that.
Well, I mean, the guy's an actor, number one.
Right.
He was in a Ukrainian comedy, apparently, comedy drama or whatever. Netflix is airing it now, so if you want to see it, you can, where he played somebody who becomes the president of Ukraine. And then after that series aired, he became the president of Ukraine. I mean,
it's what we call predictive programming.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is weird.
Yeah, I think there's a Shakespeare quote, life betrays itself. I'm not going to be able to get it, but it's obviously happening in front of us, but we're so, I think as we lose our food and fertilizer and things like farmers need are doubling, and we don't get our stuff on the shelves and our gas price. So I don't know what it's going to take. Mm. Another Netflix show? Is that what's going to confuse us enough not to pay attention? It makes it ridiculous. Anyway.
Thanks, Jack, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of my favorite predictive programming things for America was G.I. Joe. You remember G.I. Joe, right?
Wasn't a big fan.
The real American a-hole?
Right, exactly. American. Oh, no, hero, so, sorry. Like, the good guys were definitely a country, mm-hmm. but the bad guys,
were
they
the
were this sort of
right?
mysterious international terrorist organization
Cobra.
That operated
Cobra,
throughout the world.
The guy who would speak in snakes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so you've got this international terrorism that America is at war with, and lo and behold,
that's what happened.
Exactly.
Weird. I was more of a Transformers guy myself growing up.
Yeah, and there's lots of things where things like this happen, and they're sort of a preparing the mental grounds for the manifestation into real life of something to occur.
Yeah, sadly, in some ways, G.I. Joe, the cartoon and the action figures and all that certainly encouraged people who thought, you know what, I want to do something good.
Mm-hmm.
And so
they join the military.
They do the opposite and join the military. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, it was propaganda that made them believe that doing so is doing good. They equate that.
Oh, absolutely. The pro-military propaganda is relentless when you're a child in the United States, especially going through the government school system.
Yeah.
It just doesn't stop.
Yeah, support our troops. There's this sort of religious reverence for they're willing to put their lives on the line for our freedoms. And it's like, okay, number one, they're not fighting the people who are actually threatening my freedoms.
Never have, not
number
in my
two,
lifetime.
I don't get to have my freedoms whether they win or lose. So,
yeah, how's that freedom working out in the United States?
Right.
Yeah.
We have less of it than we ever had.
How's our liberty and democracy? Are you secure in your possessions and papers? Seem to remember that being important.
Many of those very same troops were here kicking in the front door of this house a year ago. They get jobs for law enforcement once they leave the military.
Yep.
So, Captain, what's this story? What's going on in Kansas? Where's this from?
So, this from KansasCity.com. The Kansas City Star is the publication. Co-living rentals banned in this Johnson County city after unanimous council vote. The Shawnee City Council, so the city of Shawnee apparently, voted 8-0 to ban co-living, becoming the first Kansas City area municipality to prevent the practice. On Monday, a Johnson County City unanimously voted to ban living arrangements aimed at helping tenants decrease the amount of rent they pay. The Shawnee City Council voted 8-0 to ban co-living, becoming the first Kansas City area municipality, we talked about that. The new ordinance defines a co-living group as a group of at least four unrelated adults living together in a dwelling unit. The ordinance stated that if one adult is unrelated to another adult, then the entire group will be classified as unrelated. The practice, which includes things like sharing a kitchen, living room, and community areas, started to gain popularity as rental and housing prices continued to increase across the United States. Co-living has become increasingly popular because of its cost-effectiveness and greater flexibility in cities where rents are high for young professionals, the Washington Post wrote in 2019. The city council's vote came despite a presentation from a Johnson County organization where a housing study showed that the average home price in the county rose 37% between 2017 and 2021.
Wow.
Climbing from $324,000 to over $443,000.
That translates into the rent that needs to get charged to pay that mortgage.
Correct.
The study, property taxes.
The study also showed that wages did not rise at the same rate.
Of course not.
Of course not. Why would they? Shawnee is one of the three largest communities in Johnson County, so what happens in Shawnee is really consequential for what happens to the rest of the county.
Despite that presentation, they voted unanimously to ban
8-0.
People having roommates.
So we're going to screw up the economy so much that the only way that you can get paid enough to have somewhere to live, because, I mean, in general, people are not, you know, seeking these out. This isn't the preferred method of having a place to live.
Sure.
Like, really, everyone kind of wants their own place is generally what happens.
Yeah.
But no.
It's a matter of what you can afford.
Right. The cost of living and the money that we actually earn have been at such odds with each other, in spite of the fact that we continue to progress technologically and in theory should be having more wealth.
Yeah.
But they've screwed up the economy so badly that we have to do this, and now they're passing a law saying, well, you're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, it's when I first moved to Seattle in 96, it was definitely a roommate situation. Now, these were friends of mine who were musicians that, you know, we all moved from either Minnesota or Wisconsin, something like that. And, you know, we all knew each other. And so the idea was that two of us would go out first and we would go find a 4-bedroom house mm-hmm. and lease it. And then we, you know, would split the rent and the bills between four people because that's the only way we could do it. Because even in 1996, Seattle was still an expensive city
yeah.
compared to everywhere else. Right. Even though it's gotten way worse now, it was still the case. And so that was how we knew. And so we collected the deposit money from everybody and we went out and we rented the house. And that's what we did. Now, because I spent 22 years there, there exist many different forms of this. Sometimes you sign a lease just for the room and you have a common like kitchen area. Maybe there's like four refrigerators, right. one for each person, something like that. But there's all sorts of variations of this. These guys are just like, nope.
Nope, not going to happen. As long as you are not related, it's a no-go, right? There's more coming up here in moments. We'll talk more about the ban on roommates. Why is this happening in Shawnee, Kansas? More coming up. Talk Live. You can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. We're talking about a ban on roommates in a city called Shawnee, Kansas, where the city council has voted unanimously to prohibit any households that have someone living in them who is not a member of the family, basically.
Even one person.
Correct.
Yeah.
And that is what they did apparently recently. Captain, you've got that story. We're going to continue with it here. But it had me speculating aloud. It's like I asked you, remember when you first brought this up off the air, yeah. I said, is this a rich town? Because in places where there's, let's just say, wealthier people living,
yeah.
they don't want to see the riffraff around. They don't want to see people living together who are living more than like to a single family or whatever, or one family to a single family. They don't want to feel like the immigrants are
that
coming
in.
It
seems to be the case here.
You know, like immigrants might be coming into town where they're sharing rooms or sharing beds or whatever, just trying to get by, trying to pay the rent, trying to keep food on the table for their families. Mm-hmm. So they pass laws restricting things. Even here in our little old Keene, New Hampshire, there's a restriction saying that no more than four unrelated people are allowed to live in the same household. Hmm. Now, that's not near as bad as what they're doing in Shawnee, where not even one unrelated person yeah. can be in the same household. So, I mean, four is usually more than enough to get the bills paid, but if you wanted to have five or six, technically that's illegal. Now, of course, the only way they can catch you is if somebody snitches you out, and I suspect that's going to be the case in Shawnee, but it sounds to me like they may have the kind of neighbors who would be willing to do that, given that every single city councilor voted for this thing. So they obviously think that this is going to be a very popular policy.
Well, mm-hmm. somebody online, and I mean, as far as the article is concerned, we've covered everything in the article, but somebody online said, oh, it's not as bad as the article makes it out to seem. Here's a highlighted quote from the City of Shawnee City Council from this looks like an email from the city manager to the community development director. And it says, it's focused on individual room rental within single-family homes located in single-family residential zoning districts. The text amendments aim to clarify and update current regulations. City staff received input and concerns from residents and city council members regarding a relatively new trend where single-family homes are being purchased and converted into rental units. With multiple individual tenants.
So they're going to go on Craigslist. They're going to find people putting advertisements out. They're going to investigate them. They're going to go on Airbnb, and they're going to go after anybody in town.
In this arrangement, individual tenants have leases of varying lengths. They have separate secured access to their rooms mm-hmm. and often do not know or have relationships with the others who are also occupying the same single-family dwelling, which is freaking impossible, because once you start living in the same dwelling, you're going to have a relationship yeah. with the other people.
people that are there.
And heaven forbid that you, you know, rent out one of your rooms on Airbnb while the prices are going up like 8.5%.
Yeah. Right. Or if you're just like a single family and you've got that extra room and you want to make a little bit of money to help pay the mortgage, yeah. I mean, that's helping people out all over the place.
And who cares if you have different people in there with varying lengths of leases or, you know, I mean, if I move in October, but you've been there for 2 years, who cares, right?
Somebody does.
The bottom line is that if I bought the property, I should be able to do what I want with the property and contract voluntarily with whomever I want to contract with.
Well, it's hard for us. I mean, you asked the question, who cares? And I agree. It's hard for us to even fathom who could possibly care about peaceful people doing what they want with their own property. We're not talking about people throwing huge parties and destroying their neighbor's house or something like that. We're talking about just people living. So, yeah, who would care about something like that? Total and complete busybodies. It's hard to imagine that there's that many of them, but apparently Shawnee's loaded up with these things because if the city councilors thought this was going to be unpopular, they wouldn't have voted for it.
Well, and these people are petty authoritarians.
Right.
So, like, they do not want the slightest variation from what they considered the status quo and the norm to be.
I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, maybe Shawnee is a wealthy community. I don't know anything about it.
I've got statistics.
But, like, I mean, do you think that there's nobody in Shawnee that, you know, maybe wants to stay close to home, but, you know, isn't really earning that much money and needs an affordable place to stay?
Oh, they're there, but they're going to be run out of town real soon.
Sounds like it.
With these new controls. The median household income, this is according to the city of Shawnee's own website, 2018 is where the number comes from, is $84,507. And if you compare that to Kansas, which is the state in which Shawnee is located, their median household income for the same year, $59,273. So you're talking about a nearly 50% over the state median income in Shawnee. So this is definitely an upper crust town for Kansas.
Sounds like it.
And I think that's why you're seeing stuff like this. You see these kinds of rules in gated neighborhoods.
That's
right?
What I was going to say. If this is what you want, then you know, move yourself to a neighborhood where this is enacted in a voluntary way.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Move into one of those gated communities where the behavior is what you expect it to be. And, I mean, it explains why there are enough people that have nothing better to do than to concern themselves with, there's a person who's not in their family living there.
Yep, and people that are considered below the poverty line in Shawnee, there's like 5-something percent, whereas Kansas, it's 11.9%, so half of the level of poverty.
Yeah, well,
Shawnee.
I mean, that number is about to go up because, you know, they're getting kicked out of their house or they can't find an affordable place to live.
Let's go to, I believe we have Major Payne on the line. Is this the Major?
Yes, it is.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for giving me a soapbox once again. We almost rant against the powers that be.
What's on your mind tonight?
I think it was Speechless I heard fretting about all the misinformation coming out of the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
Don't fret now that we have our Ministry of Misinformation here.
Right.
I think they'll take care of it, yeah. But, oh, goodness. Oh, as far as the what you guys are talking about in Kansas.
Yeah.
I remember, you think about this. You got nosy old bitty bodies looking out the window. And, he's fixing his car in the driveway.
Yeah, the petty authoritarians, yeah.
They're going to run the property values down.
Mm.
I, one time in North Dakota, got a woman thrown out of a trailer park for, I don't remember, some stupid repair. I was fixing her muffler or changing her tire, and a nosy busybody next door literally got that little girl run out of the trailer.
Wow.
Wow.
I mean, yeah, it's crazy. A trailer park.
Yeah.
Oh, they've got crazy rules at trailer parks.
Yeah,
and
they do. It's
and
true.
Plenty of busybodies with nothing better to do than look out their window all day.
Yeah, when you're sitting on top of one another, it's hard to exist with any kind of clarity.
Thanks for the call tonight, Major. Appreciate hearing from you.
And I wonder how many of the people, you know, especially in a trailer park, who have nothing better to do, are on welfare.
That's right.
Paid. Oh, well, you have anxiety. You can't work a job. So now you have all of your expenses taken care of, and you can just peep on everybody and see what are you doing?
Snitch out the neighbors.
Yep.
Those are the worst. What are they called? The Mrs. Kravitz's.
Yeah,
right, that's Bewitched. Right? The lady across the street or whatever. I was looking out her window, seeing what's going on at the house across the street.
Yep.
I was coming over trying to find out what's going on and get the scoop and thinking things are going on that really aren't going on. Yeah.
Yeah, we got a real problem with that these days. I mean, people turn in parents for playing with their kids in parks and things like that. Like, you know, if you're a dad or a mom, you take your son or daughter or whatever out to the park to go play. There's literally people calling the cops on you in some places.
The thing that bothers me most about this sort of, you know, ban on roommate situations, and I've seen all the flavors that we've mentioned already, whether it's one guy rents the house and then, you know, everybody else chips in, you know, their amount, or if there's individual leases in place for each room, or, you know, any of those varieties. And I've seen them in cities and towns. You know, and that kind of a thing. It's really sad for the young people, because the young people,
they need it the most.
Need it the most. You know, particularly if they're trying to further their own education, that type of a thing.
Right.
Where they
get out of mom's house.
Yeah, get out of mom's house. But, you know, maybe they can only work part time, something like that. Or
they're going to school.
Going to school. All that kind of a thing comes into play. So for the young people particularly, this is disturbing. And we know from past experience that governments are monkey see, monkey do. Once this starts happening in one community and it passes, it's going to happen in another and another, and they'll tell two friends, and they'll tell two friends, and so on.
That's disturbing.
And so on.
It just goes to show that we cannot all get along. We cannot live with these people. I do not want to live nearby busybodies like this. And so, to come back around to the constant refrain on this show, if you actually do care about liberty, if you're a libertarian, if you're a voluntarist, and you want to live in a deliberate community, a migration of people that share your values, you got to do something about it. It ain't going to happen magically where you live. You probably got to uproot yourself and migrate here to New Hampshire. Check out the Free State Project to learn more about that. We'll see you tomorrow night online. In the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.